Sting. Chapter 6. I woke up grudgingly to my phone ringing. I swatted at my nightstand until I located it and squinted just long enough to see where I needed to swipe in order to answer it.
Hello?
Sorry it's so early. You're going to want to get to town, ASAP, a man's voice said.
Who is this?
I grumbled, irritated at being told what to do, even without context.
It's Irving,
the voice said, and that sparked the clarity to recognize the detective's voice.
Look, you need to mainline some coffee or something, because you are going to want to see this.
See what?
I said, waking up enough to prop myself up on my elbows.
I have to go talk to witnesses. See you soon,
Irving replied, ignoring my question as he hung up. I scowled at my phone before dropping it on my bed and sitting the rest of the way up. I rubbed my hand over my face and looked beside me. Sophie in her human form and Freya were sound asleep. The ringing of the phone hadn't bothered them at all. I crawled out of bed and headed straight for the coffee pot, thankful that Freya had prepared it in the evening before. Once the coffee was brewing, I woke the girls up and told them about the call. 15 minutes later, after we had coffee and Sophie had shifted to her canine form, we were out the door. Veda and Delaney were waiting at the line created by police tape surrounding the entire town square, the same place the apothecary was located. Irving was speaking to a young couple only 10 feet away.
Irving!
I yelled. He glanced over at me, turned to dismiss the couple, and then headed over.
It's about time.
I glared at him with the scorn of a pissed-off scorpion.
Why are we here?
We have accounted for 8 of the 9 strange ship's passengers, even the ones who disappeared from their Airbnbs,
Irving started.
They are all dead, and they are all here in the square.
Veda's eyes widened.
You have seen 7 dead bodies over there? How?
I wish I knew,
Irving answered.
Come on through. You can see for yourself.
We crossed the police line and followed Irving to a nearby park bench. I quickly saw a sheet draped over a body that was under the bench. Forensic teams and beat cops rummaged through, making the place a flurry of activity. Irving put on a glove and grabbed the corner of the sheet, pulling it back.
What do you make of this?
He said simply. The body was unrecognizable as far as features go. I wouldn't have even been able to tell if it was a man or a woman if it wasn't for the long hair on her head. She was curled up in the fetal position, barely able to fit in the space she's huddled in. And she was shriveled, just as the body in the morgue had been. I walked around the bench to look at her face. She had the same look of terror in her stuck-open eyes, matching the rest of her body language. Her mouth was open, and her hands were in front of her face as if trying to shield herself from something.
She looks like she was scared to death, I said. What the hell could she have been scared of?
Nothing that I can think of, Irving said. The only significant occurrence here last night was a little bit of rain, but even that mostly dried up a couple of hours after it fell.
Veda circled the bench, examining everything she could lay her eyes on.
Some bluish coloring. The clothing is dry, so it would appear she died after the rain. The only water anywhere near her is a tiny pool in the divot in front of the bench.
Delaney tipped her head to look at the water. The tiny bit that was there had settled on the sidewalk about 6 inches in front of the bench.
Wouldn't she have had to scoot through that to get herself under that bench? She pointed out.
It's possible, Veda replied. I don't know that it matters, though. We can find out when they remove the body.
I looked at Irving, who was scratching his head as he shook it.
Between the rain and now, he reported, that puts the time of death around 4:30 in the morning.
Where are the others? I asked, glancing around the square.
Come on,
he replied, waving for us to follow him as he headed across the street. The next body we came to was exactly the same as the first, only that one was crouched down in the recessed entryway of a trinket store. It was a male, judging by hair once more, and his hands were up, as though trying to defend himself as well. The same look of terror contorted the shriveled face, and I couldn't help but feel sorry for him. Just then,
Sophie tugged at my pants with her teeth.
Can you smell that?
I took a deep breath and shook my head at her.
Dirt and weirdness once again. Same as the morgue, but much lighter,
she told me telepathically. I nodded to indicate that I heard her and moved to where Veda, Delaney, and Freya were standing. Leaning in close to the two of them, I whispered,
Sophie said the bodies smell the same as the one in the morgue. Can you smell anything?
Both girls took deep breaths and shook their heads. Freya glanced at Sophie and back at me.
Is she seeing anything we aren't? She asked softly.
Sophie's canine hearing picked up on what Freya said, and she replied to my mind.
Not anything you guys haven't mentioned already.
Veda went to Irving and pointed to the store windows.
Did the owners of the store find this one? Most of these shops have entrances in the back. They could have seen the body from the inside of the store, the way the windows are roofed to ground.
No.
Irving covered the body we were currently looking at and crossed his arms.
We found him before the owners came in. We've kept them away for now. The first one was found by an early shopper who was on their way to the coffee shop to wait for the stores to open. We have 5 more of these scattered about. Do you need to see more?
The girls both nodded.
Yeah, I told Irving. Never know when something will stand out that we didn't notice before.
As it turned out, the next 5 bodies weren't different from the first ones, other than being in different locations. One had fallen beside the cab of a bread delivery truck parked on the side of the street. Another by a random parking meter. One laying in the wet grass of the median. And the other 3 were just out on the sidewalks in front of various businesses. Each one was withered, bearing a look of abject terror with their hands up in front of their faces. By the time we made it to the last one, which took almost 2 hours, their horrified looks almost seemed normal. That one was on the sidewalk, huddled up against the public trash can. Her hands were up, facing the trash can in the same way as the others as well. We were about to walk away when Delaney stopped us.
Do you see that?
All of us stopped and followed Delaney's outstretched arm to see what she was pointing at. It was very minute, and I had to squint to see the tiny dot on the corpse's shriveled arm. It was just below the inside crease of the elbow.
Is that a needle mark?
I asked the others.
Looks like it, Veda said, squatting down to look closer. It's definitely a puncture wound of some sort.
I'll notify the morgue right away to check for marks on the other corpses, Irving said, pulling his phone out of his pocket.
We moved away from the last body as Irving talked to the doctor at the morgue. When we got to the edge of the scene, he hung up and lifted the police tape for us to pass through. I waited for the girls to go before following them. Turning to Irving, I asked,
What did they say about the first body?
Nothing yet, he replied. I'll let you know when they have details about the autopsy. We'll send these new corpses right over as well.
Veda put her hands on her hips and scoffed.
If those turn out to be needle marks, we may be calling these people victims instead of corpses soon. And what about the last one? Where the hell is he, she?
I didn't think of that, Irving said, rubbing his forehead. Damn. And the last one would be a she. As of now, we have no clue as to what drew them to the square or where the 9th passenger is.
What about the witnesses? Any information there?
Freya asked, ignoring his sudden worn-down demeanor.
Nothing other than seeing the bodies. The first one discovered was by the bread truck driver. He went inside with a bread load, and when he returned, he was greeted with a shriveled corpse. He was pretty shaken up, but he didn't see any of the other bodies, so we don't know who died first yet, nor what they were all doing here at the same time in the middle of the night.
Irving's frustration grew with each word.
Well, Veda said, that at least gives you a guess as to the time frame it took for them to die.
I didn't think about that, Irving said. I'll be sure to get the amount of time he was inside the store for.
I had to hold back a chuckle. In so many ways, Irving was a stellar cop. In others, he totally missed the mark. Asking the bread truck driver how long he'd been gone should have been one of the first things he did.
You've got my number,
I told him. Bitterness coming back about being woken up.
See ya,
Irving said
as he spun around and walked away. The girls looked at me for our next move.
I say we get food before we dive any further into this.
Sophie barked, and I looked down.
Only if it includes a sandwich, she sent to me. I realize it's a little early, but I haven't had one in weeks being on the cruise.
I laughed and glanced up at the girls.